The headlines: Finland formally joins the Western military alliance NATO as Russia warns of countermeasures against the move. The former U.S. President Donald Trump is set to appear in a New York court amid tight security to face criminal charges. And Israeli forces shoot and arrest a Palestinian youth following a stabbing attack that injured two Israeli soldiers. Hello and welcome from our headquarters in Tehran. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisum Shahmadi, and these are our top stories this hour. Finland formally joins a U.S.-led NATO despite Russia's concerns about the Western military alliance's eastward expansion. The alliance has welcomed Finland as its 31st member. The NATO flag has flown in front of the Finnish Foreign Ministry in Helsinki. NATO chief Jens Stoltenberg described the Nordic nation's accession as historic. Finland, alongside Sweden, applied to join the alliance last year following Russia's military offensive in Ukraine. Russia has branded Finland's NATO membership as an assault on its security, saying it will take countermeasures. Moscow says Finland's admission has created risks of significant expansion of the conflict. Moscow has already blamed NATO's policy for the war in Ukraine. And Russia has intensified attacks in and around Bakhmut, a city that has become the focal point of Moscow's wide-ranging offensive in eastern Ukraine. Moscow says its forces have raised the Russian flag on an administrative building in the center of the city, even though Ukrainian soldiers still hold some western positions. But Ukraine's military has rejected Russia's claims to have captured the city center. Since the beginning of the Russia-Ukraine war, the battle for Bakhmut has been one of the bloodiest, with heavy casualties on both sides and the town largely destroyed. Meanwhile, Ukraine reported numerous drone attacks by Russia overnight, saying its air defense system intercepted most of them. And turning now to the United States, where former President Donald Trump is set to appear in a court soon following a hush money indictment. The ex-president will turn himself amid tight security and street protests. He will formally face criminal charges and he will be fingerprinted and photographed. Trump will also have a chance to plead. The arraignment comes amid growing tensions and political divisions in a watershed moment ahead of next year's presidential election. The ex-president was indicted by a grand jury in New York after a years-long investigation into alleged hush money paid by Trump's personal lawyer to adult actress Stormy Daniels ahead of the 2016 presidential election. Trump has denied any wrongdoing and called for protests against what he described as political persecution and election interference at the highest level in U.S. history. And thousands of students have hit the streets of the U.S. city of Nashville to express their anger and demand action following the recent deadly school shooting there. Local high school and college students walked out of classes and joined the protest. Demonstrators marched towards the Tennessee state capitol in the city to call for an end to gun violence and demand stronger gun laws. On March 27th, a shooting at Nashville's Convent School left six people dead, three of them 9-year-old children. The assailant was a former student of the same school who was killed by police. The motive behind the shooting still remains unclear. A total of 90 school shootings have been reported in the U.S. so far this year, with last year's figure standing at an all-time record of 303. The Palestinian resistance movement, Hamas, has hailed a stabbing attack against the Israeli forces near Tel Aviv. Hamas says a knife attack was in response to the regime's crimes and its storming of Al-Aqsa Mosque in Al-Quds. Earlier, we reached out to our correspondent in Ramallah, Mona Kendall, for more details.
Almost 1 hour ago, Israeli military declared that two Israeli soldiers were stabbed south Tel Aviv near a military base there, claiming one of them is in serious condition, claiming that a Palestinian man stabbed them. And Israeli settlers there opened fire at this Palestinian man, and the Israeli military has arrested him. He was wounded and arrested under the claim that he stabbed Israeli soldiers. At the moment, the Israeli military say that they are searching, and they rule out the possibility that another, Palestinian fled the scene earlier. They thought that two Palestinians had been in the area and that they tried to carry out an anti-Israeli operation. One was shot and wounded and arrested, and another one had fled the scene. Now the Israeli military are saying that only one Palestinian was in the area. This operation led to the injury of two Israeli soldiers. We have to mention that since the beginning of this year, almost 100 Palestinians had been killed by the Israeli forces in the occupied West Bank, including at least 17 children and one Palestinian woman.
The UK has been gripped by a wave of strikes by workers across the public sector in recent months. They are demanding pay rises amid a cost of living crisis in the country. We discuss this in our news review program. Welcome to another edition of the News Review. In this edition, more strikes in Britain. And this time, the UK passport office workers have launched a five-week walkout as the country reels from an unprecedented cost of living crisis. The public and the commercial services says that more than 1,000 members are going to participate in this strike. The union has accused the British government of failing to hold any meaningful talks with public sector workers. The union wants talks about pay, jobs, pensions, and also working conditions. Meanwhile, British teachers have also overwhelmingly voted to take two further days of strike action on April 27th and May the 2nd. The UK has seen a wave of strikes across various public sectors in recent months, with workers demanding inflation-matching pay rises, and, well, the country, and the inflation actually in the country has hit a 40-year high of more than 11% in October. And to discuss that further, we're joined by our correspondent Robert Carter, live from London, and also Rodney Shakespeare, professor of economics, joining us live from London. Also, let's begin with our very own Robert Carter, our correspondent. Could you please give us some updates, Robert, on the situation? Of course, we do know that these strikes are ongoing, but are there any plans? Does Rishi Sunak have any plans to alleviate these economic woes?
Well, that is the issue that the government has faced for quite some time now. These are not the first types of strikes that we've seen to hit the UK in recent months. Of course, going back to the Christmas period in December, there was a wide range of strike action during that month, including areas that were affected, such as travel and also the postal services. And now we're seeing it expanding into the education sector. Parts of the NHS have also been dealing with strike action or negotiations over their pay and so on. And so things are just getting worse. They're not getting better at all. And the government has been finding itself basically incapable of resolving many of these disputes. Now, of course, each union has its own dispute areas where it's trying to fight for better working conditions or an increase of pay for its members. But the government's bottom line is that they just ultimately don't have the money to give in to all of the demands. And so far, I think every union that's been looking at the government's handling of this crisis has seen that they're failing time and again. and there's been endless strike actions. So I think the pressure is definitely on the government. Union bosses know this, and so they're pushing high demands to the best of their ability, and they ultimately want to keep striking to keep the government on the back foot to hopefully try and get a better deal in the end. But the Conservatives are known historically for taking a hardline position on industrial action. And it's quite likely that with the ongoing war in Ukraine, for example, that the UK government will continue not to go easy on union demands, because the way they are painting the picture is that the money that they have needs to be spent elsewhere, such as supporting the Ukrainians against the Russians. People here in the UK are expected to put up and like it or lump it, basically.
Exactly, Robert. You just answered my question partly, because looking from outside, it would be quite irrational to spend money on a war between two other countries while the people inside the country are suffering from economic hardship. So, Mr. Shakespeare, in your opinion, do you believe that the UK government has the will to alleviate these economic woes the people are facing, or will they once again choose Ukraine and the path that most likely the U.S. Will be trying to lead them to?
Well, let's start with a solid fact, an English breakfast or a British breakfast. And the annual rise in the British breakfast is now 22%. That's an egg, bacon, sausage, black pudding, tomato, baked beans, toast, marmalade, cup of tea. And that is the reality of the inflation rise. And those who have mortgages are in debt in some way, they're being hit even more. If you then look at what the claims are, they're very reasonable. The teachers are being offered 5% plus a one-off thousand, yes, but being offered 5%. And they're actually asking for 12%. But they are saying that in real terms, their salaries have gone backwards 24% since 2010. Now, however you look at that, that is a massive decrease in standard of living, and it's been going on long before the start of this war, which is only, in fact, exacerbating the situation.
So, Mr. Shakespeare, do you believe that Rishi Sunak has any plans or even has the will to solve the problems?
Well, I don't think the government, they are just relying on being able to smash everybody down. But I don't think they're going to be able to do that, because you see, it's not just the UK, it's country after country after country now. And they're all experiencing inflation roughly on the lines that I was indicating and that Robert was indicating. And so I think we're going into what is going to be a very hot summer indeed, with, of course, political consequences. You can't have inflation like this without there being major consequences for governments.
Exactly. We're expecting major consequences. So, Robert, as someone who's right there on the ground reporting for us, and we've seen strikes unprecedented in the UK. Just for example, let's take the nurses. Over the past century, this is the first time that they've come out on the streets. So, what do you expect to happen next, considering the fact that it doesn't seem that the government, based on what both of you agree on, has any particular plan to alleviate the economic woes of the people?
I have to say that the situation is going to get worse. There's no doubt about it. The fact of the matter is that the government's position is that they can only pay so much because the coffers are essentially empty. And, you know, they pin the blame mostly on having to deal with the COVID crisis previously and, you know, the negative consequences of Brexit, perhaps, depending on who you ask. But there seems to be a real lack of willingness to discuss the situation in Ukraine.
Thank you very much, Robert Carter, our correspondent, joining us live from London. Also, Rodney Shakespeare, professor of economics, joining us live also from London. Thanks for sharing your thoughts with us on this edition of the News Review. China says the United States strengthening its military deployment in the Philippines will only lead to more tensions in the region.
The United States, out of its own selfish interests and with a zero-sum mindset, has continued to strengthen its military deployment in the region, the result of which is bound to increase tensions and jeopardize regional peace and stability. Regional countries should think deeply about what is appropriate and what is mutually beneficial, so as to make choices that are truly conducive to their own interests and to regional peace and stability.
The spokeswoman's comments came after Washington's new deal with the Philippines that has envisaged four additional bases for U.S. troops. They include one near the disputed South China Sea and another not far from Taiwan. The 2014 Enhanced Defense Cooperation Agreement between the two countries, known as the EDCA, gave U.S. forces access to five bases in the Philippines. It was later expanded to nine, with a location of the new ones announced on Monday by Manila and confirmed by Washington. The deal is made amid growing tensions between the U.S. and China over Taiwan. And that brings us to the end of this edition of World News. Stay tuned.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/parstodayen. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish.
In the limelight.
Since the start of the conflict between Russia and Ukraine, the United States and its European allies have imposed an array of unprecedented sanctions against Russia and poured numerous advanced weaponry into Ukraine, despite repeated warnings by Kremlin that such measures will only prolong the war. Russian officials have also charged the United States of being prepared to sacrifice Ukraine and the developing world in order to beat Russia and maintain its global hegemony. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. The website of Fact Checked has covered this story and tells us more. According to a report, the United States has sent more military assistance to help Ukraine fight Russia than Washington spent annually to fight its own war in Afghanistan. The data compiled by the German research firm Statista showed that the U.S. military aid to Ukraine up to mid-January, covering the first 11 months of the conflict, totaled $46.6 billion. Citing data from the Kiel Institute for the World Economy, Statista said, that compared with an average annual military spending of $43.4 billion during the first 10 years of the war in Afghanistan. Statista data journalist Martin Armstrong said, when calculating the average annual costs of previous wars in which the United States has been involved in, the true magnitude of the country's Ukraine aid expenditure can be seen. Martin Armstrong added, the Ukraine total doesn't include an additional $5 billion worth of weapons and equipment that the Pentagon sent to Kiev. The figures, however, exclude non-military aid, such as the $4.5 billion that U.S. President Joe Biden pledged to fund pensions, government salary, and another public spending. In total, the United States has allocated $113 billion in Ukraine aid, and multiple administration officials have vowed to keep supporting Kiev as long as it takes. Americans have sent more money to Ukraine than Russia spends on its annual military budget. Russia spends about $65 to $70 billion a year. The U.S. sent more than $100 billion, including non-military aid, and plus there are the other NATO countries and those in Asia who also support Ukraine. A number of U.S. lawmakers, such as Representatives Seth Moulton of Massachusetts and Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia, have called the Ukraine conflict a proxy war that the United States and NATO are waging against Russia. Marjorie Taylor Greene called the war in Ukraine a deadly, profitable industry and demanded the U.S. withdrawal from NATO military alliance. While referring to the Biden administration's massive military aid to Ukraine as a proxy war against Russia that Americans have no appetite for, Marjorie Taylor Greene said, "The American people do not want war with Russia, but NATO and our own foolish leaders are dragging us into one. We should pull out of NATO." In a series of tweets in which she has expressed fierce criticism of Washington's response to the Ukraine conflict by sending billions of taxpayer dollars to the country and risking a potential nuclear war, Marjorie Taylor Greene further added that Ukraine is now the new Iraq, wrapped up with a pretty little NATO bow with a nuclear present inside. CNN has also covered this story and tells us more. A senior U.S. official has said the United States is preparing a fresh military aid package to Ukraine worth $2 billion, defying repeated warnings from Moscow as the war completes 1 year. U.S. President Joe Biden's National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan made the disclosure recently, asserting that Washington is ready to support Kiev for the long haul. While announcing new aid, Jake Sullivan said, "We're going to continue to look at what is necessary and make sure that we provide what is necessary that Ukraine has what it needs to succeed on the battlefield." U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, who accompanied Joe Biden on an unannounced trip to Kiev recently, said U.S. officials are constantly looking to give Volodymyr Zelensky's administration the tools that it needs to win against Russia. He did not reveal details of the new military aid package, but Western media reports said it builds on previous packages of aid to Kiev. CNN reports said the $2 billion package includes new funding for contracts including HIMARS rockets, 155mm artillery munition, drones, counter-drone equipment, mine-clearing equipment, and secure communications equipment. Jake Sullivan said the U.S. has provided Kiev with assistance it needs for each phase of the war, but acknowledged that the Ukrainians have often asked for more than the United States is willing to give them. The top U.S. security official, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, reiterated the Biden administration's position that it's not currently providing F-16 fighter jets to Ukraine, much to the chagrin of Ukrainian officials. Meanwhile, Germany's Chancellor Olaf Scholz said whether or not to arm Ukraine with drones doesn't make any sense at the moment. Olaf Scholz, who has previously faced criticism for pulling back on sending tanks to Ukraine, said difficulties faced by other countries in meeting Ukraine's military demands vindicated his decision to move to lock them down. Earlier this month, Germany agreed to send heavy battle tanks to help Ukraine attack Russian forces in the east of the country, allowing other countries to send them. However, the delivery has so far been slow due to limited donor resources. Russia Today, the RT network, has also covered this story and tells us more. A former U.S. state senator says the United States is to blame for constantly meddling in the internal affairs of independent countries and starting both wars in Iraq and Ukraine. Former state senator from Virginia, Richard Black, said the U.S. overthrew the governments of both of these countries to turn them into puppets, stressing that Washington is the source of both the Iraq and the Ukraine conflicts. Richard Black also pointed out that while most Americans do not want to be involved in the conflicts, the U.S. foreign policy establishment pursues its own separate agenda. Richard Black insisted that the U.S. overthrew Iraq with military force coming in from across the globe and has gone in and overthrown Ukraine with military force from the other side of the globe. The former state senator said the Ukraine conflict broke out when the CIA staged a violent, bloody coup d'etat in Kiev in 2014 and helped remove the legitimately elected president of Ukraine, Viktor Yanukovych, from power. Richard Black added, Washington replaced Viktor Yanukovych with a so-called revolutionary junta and began flooding Kiev with advanced weaponry with the aim of building up a very formidable military force. Richard Black clarified Ukraine's current president is nothing more than a puppet of Washington, who does what he's told and when he's told. According to the former senator, while most of the American population does not agree with the U.S. interventionist foreign policies, a group of so-called Washington elites, as well as oligarchs and the weapons manufacturing military-industrial complex, pursue their own interests, irrespective of others. Former Senator Richard Black further stated the conflict in Ukraine could be resolved if the country becomes neutral and demilitarized, similar to Austria during the Cold War period. The ex-state senator, Richard Black, emphasized that Russia's security concerns were justifiable and without a doubt needed to be taken into consideration by neighboring countries.
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
Jannah wasiyul mustafa haqqan imamun nas
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the sermon number 76 in Nahjul Balagha. And here Imam Ali alayhi salam explains to us certain things that lead to his mercy, to the mercy of God, where he says, Rahimallahu mra'an sami'a hukman fawa'a. And then he goes on to explain other factors also that leads to God's mercy. So one of them, the first one that we're going to discuss about today, is this one where he says, may Allah have mercy upon the person who listens to a wise statement, a statement of wisdom and firmness, and listens to it and retains it. That means he listens to it carefully and tries to retain it in his mind. Sami'a hukman fawa'a. He listens to it and retains it. In other words, he pays attention to it. He tries to give effect to it. He ponders upon it. He does something that statement doesn't go away. He allows that statement to have an effect on him. And not that it should just fall on deaf ears. So this is a very important statement, and this is a reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy can engulf and encompass someone.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam says that Allah's mercy encompasses someone who sami'a hukman fawa'a, listens to a wise statement and then he retains it. That means he pays attention to it carefully. Now, the first thing that Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions is sami'a hukman. He listens. And you see, the listening ability is one of the very important ways through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicates to human beings, you know. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about the Quran, he talks about it as something that is supposed to be recited. Why something is recited? Because it can be heard, you know. وَقْرَأْ مَا تَيَسَّرَ. Read the Quran, recite it. Okay. وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلَ. Okay. يَتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. O Prophet, you narrate to them the verses. Tell them about the truth. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell them. So notice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the tool of our ears and our hearing capacity a lot. He gives it a lot of importance. That's why, for example, he says, he talks about the Quran and says that this is qawl, qawlullah, let's say, or this is kalimatullah, kalima, or qawl, a statement, a word, you know, something that is recited. You see, these things are important. And this is because of the crucial position of the ability to listen. Listening has a certain effect that seeing probably doesn't have that particular effect. These are two different ways in which we receive information. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَكُمْ. He is the one who caused you to come. He originated you. He caused you to exist. وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. And he made for you, what? What did he make for you? السَّمْعَ, the ability to hear. وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ, and the eyesight and the hearts. So, listening is very important. In fact, in this verse, Allah first says سَمْعَ. In a way, probably it's giving us the important, showing us the important role of the listening capacity in the process of guidance, in the process of coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, if a person listens, he has taken a great stride towards, achieving guidance.
IRIB English Radio presents a detailed commentary of the Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on the program Gate of Knowledge.
Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that listening, that you should listen, and that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, for example, he really complains about those people, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَوُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. They have ears, but they do not hear with them. Allah complains about them. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, does it mean that people who listen to just anything? No, of course not. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Do not follow that which you do not have knowledge about. إِنَّ السَّمْعَ. Why? Because إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادِ. Because your listening capacity, your hearing capacity, وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادِ, and your ability to see, and your heart, كُلٌ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. All of them will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to what you followed. You listened to this and then you followed. You saw something, you followed without thinking about it. Your heart just told you something without really thinking, pondering upon it. You started to just follow something. Of course, it's a mistake. So it's not just about listening to anything. That's why Imam Ali alayhi salam says, he says in this particular statement, Rahimallahu imra'an sami'a hukman. A human being or a person who listens to hukm, not just one who listens to anything. Now, we need to understand now what is this hukm. When we understand what hukm is, that's when we will appreciate the fact that Allah has stressed so much on the issue of listening. Of course, when we talk about listening, we need to be careful, because sometimes some things are just sinful words or statement. Those, of course, we don't have to listen to those things. Some are not sinful, but they are useless things. We should try to avoid them. Some are mixed with incorrect information and wrong information. Here, we need expertise. Some are useful and correct, but they need prerequisites. They need a process, a learning process. Some are good, but then they don't have really practical benefits. So you see, there are different types of words, and how we listen to them is very important. Inshallah, we'll work on this in the coming session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمناه
في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
From east to west, throughout the vast land of Iran, you're listening to IRIB English Radio. In the limelight.
Britain's economy has been grappling with record high inflation in recent months, with many workers launching strikes and protests as they can't match their wages with skyrocketing inflation. We've taken a look at some of the world media and press's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Sky News has covered this story and tells us more. British households and businesses are preparing for an onslaught of price rises during April, after the government ended its relief scheme for energy bills, fueling the worsening impact of the cost of living crisis on people's lives. Millions of Britons are set to face increased costs on a number of items and services in the coming days, including their council tax, water bills, mobile and broadband, while businesses face unprecedented hikes in their gas and electricity bills. The government is putting up council tax by 5% during April, meaning those living in a Band D home will have to pay an extra tax of £100 each year. The average water bill is set to rise by 7.5%, while broadband and mobile phone prices are due to go up by about 17%. Matthew Upton, Director of Policy at Citizens Advice, said millions of people will now have a stomach inflation-busting price hikes on their mobile and broadband contracts, totaling an average of £90 more a year. Matthew Upton said, "We called on those firms to support their customers during this uniquely challenging time, but they didn't listen. Ofcom should be holding these companies to account." Going through the NHS, prescription charges in England are set to rise by 30% in the coming days, taking fees to £9.65 per item. Following close behind, the increase will be higher costs of food and commodities across the country. Mortgage payments will also rise for borrowers after the Bank of England raised borrowing rates to a 14-year high of 4.25%. According to the Household Finances app, Noos, considering all the increases in total, a typical British family will be £682 a year worse off. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered this story and tells us more. According to a study of the damaging effects of the cost of living crisis, a wave of rising bills and tax hikes coming into effect during April will leave a family on a £50,000 annual income almost £700 a year worse off. According a study by the CEBR Economic Consultancy, unions have warned that an increase in the minimum wage will not be enough to offset the pressure on hard-pressed families. Households at the bottom of the income scale will face the hardest squeeze relatively. It details how bills for dental work, prescriptions, water, broadband and car tax will jump as government departments and regulated companies are allowed to impose inflation-busting rises. average council tax bill will increase by £99, topping £2,000 for the first time. The hikes come as households face an unprecedented squeeze on their finances as wage growth in the United Kingdom lags behind headline inflation of 10.4%. It emerged this week that supermarket price inflation in the United Kingdom had hit another record high of 17.5%, lifting the average annual household grocery bill by as much as £837 to £5,617. British Telecom, BT, TalkTalk, Three and Vodafone are among the big telecommunication companies that are contractually allowed to increase their bills in line with one of the December, January or February official inflation rates, plus a further 3% to 3.9% on top. For millions of O2 and Virgin Mobile customers, it means an inflation-busting increase of up to 17.3% in their bills for making calls, sending texts and using data. The scale of the cut in disposable incomes is magnified by a squeeze on income tax thresholds, which will drag hundreds of thousands of people into higher tax bands over the next year. Tax bands usually rise in line with inflation, but the Chancellor, Jeremy Hunt, imposed a 5-year moratorium in his March budget on further increases from April. The analysis by the CEBR examined the extra costs faced by three typical households with incomes at the tax thresholds, £12,570, £50,270 and £125,140. Those with incomes of £12,570 a year will see their tax bills increase by a minimum of £29 a month, or £348 a year. Households with an income of £50,270 annually are facing a £684 rise, while those with a £125,140 income annually will be in the higher annual costs of £936. Meanwhile, the £400 energy bill discount that households enjoyed over the winter ends in April, so they will in effect lose out on up to £67 a month. However, households will be spared a separate £500 increase to annual energy bills that was originally planned for 1st of April, from £2,500 to £3,000 a year, after the government scrapped plans to increase the energy price guarantee. Pushpin Singh, a CEBR economist, said, "Our estimates suggest that monthly disposable incomes are expected to drop by £29, £57 and £78 respectively for each of the three households from March 2023 to April of 2023. These are due to the following: fiscal drag from fixed income tax thresholds, higher spending on essentials including food and water, an uptick in council tax, along with the withdrawal of household energy support in the form of energy bill support scheme." Pushpin Singh, the economist, said there would be some respite for households later this year and into next year from an expected easing in inflation, not least due to the purported reduction in energy bills, which come into effect in July. British newspaper The Independent has also covered this story and tells us more. British founder, entrepreneur and chief executive Greg Marsh depicted the economic situation in the United Kingdom as worrying and said that the crisis is pushing millions of families over the edge. Greg Marsh warned, "We're not just talking about those on lower incomes. Even dual-income families with above-average earnings will now be drawn into the struggle to afford to live." Adding to the current pressure on people, the government has announced its new plan to end the energy price guarantee scheme, which will withdraw the government's financial support for energy bills. Peter McClenaghan, Director of Infrastructure and Sustainability at the Consumer Council, said the government is withdrawing the additional energy price guarantee support local consumers have been receiving. He explained further, this means that some consumers' bills will not reduce as much as initially advertised, and some bills will increase when the updated energy price guarantee rate is applied. The British Chambers of Commerce criticised the government's cut of support in the middle of the economic turmoil. Alex Beach, Director of Policy and Public Affairs at the British Chamber of Commerce, said almost half of the firms say paying bills will be difficult from 1st of April onwards. But of the seven energy policies we advocated for the government to include in the spring budget, not one was acted upon. Alex Beach complained flexibility to increase support for those who desperately need it ignored, easing the burden of claiming VAT on energy ignored, funding for improved business energy efficiency ignored.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, this hadith is about the etiquettes of fasting. As you know, currently we are in the blessed month of Ramadan, and this is a month in which, as you know, the Quran was revealed. It is also a month in which we are obliged to fast. There's a lot of special distinctions spiritually for this month. And it's also the month in which the famous night of ordainment, the Laylatul Qadr, occurs. Right? These are all distinctions of this blessed month. Like we said, one of the distinctions of this month is the fact that in this month we are obliged to fast. You know, fasting, it has its own rules and regulations. There's a lot of things which can invalidate the fast. There are certain things that we must do while we are fasting. There are obligations of fasting. And right now, because our program is not centered around Islamic jurisprudence, we will avoid these rules and regulations. But we want to say that there are a lot of things that are not necessarily obligatory while we are fasting. Nevertheless, these things improve the chances of our fast becoming accepted by God. These are what we could refer to by the etiquettes of fasting, the adab of the fast and the sawm. In this beautiful hadith, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he mentioned some of these. Muhammad ibn Muslim, famous narrator and rawi of hadith, he says that Abu Abdullah, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, said, "When you fast, your hearing must fast, along with your sight, your hair, your skin, and so on and so forth." And the rawi says, and he listed a number of other things. And finally, the imam said, "The day you must fast must not be like a day that you do not fast." Unfortunately, you know, a lot of us, when we're fasting, not only is the day not better than the other days when we don't fast, sometimes it's a lot worse. For example, we notice that, you know, when we're fasting, we play a lot more video games than we would when we weren't fasting, right? Because, you know, we try to just pass the day as quickly as possible. You know, we try to do things, enjoy ourselves and, you know, entertain ourselves while we're fasting, just to forget that we're actually fasting, you know. So, like, we might be playing video games on a normal day, we might play for an hour. But, you know, on another day, and when we're fasting, we might actually play 3-4 hours. You know, if we're playing basketball for, you know, we play an hour every day or 2 hours. You know, we might do that a lot more while we're fasting, just so we can pass the time, and we might forget, so that we can forget we're fasting. Right, so unfortunately, this happens a lot. You know, everybody can admit to this. But it's not something that is good. It's contrary to the etiquettes of fasting, you know. The days when we're fasting, it should be a lot better than the days we're not fasting. This is one of the things that can help improve the chances of our fast being accepted by God Almighty, and, you know, and us seeing actually seeing those spiritual effects that we expect from our fast. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the etiquettes of fasting from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Doing us out from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our